Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Thursday, May 4th, 2023. May the 4th be with you. Star Wars Day across America, around the world, as a matter of fact, along with our engineer and producer, Mr. Aaron Zomers. We welcome you into hour number two. Fun to celebrate, at least once a year, right? To talk about movies that we've seen, where we were at the first time we saw a Star Wars movie.
Absolutely.
Has left an indelible mark on a lot of Americans, the whole genre of Star Wars. And as we talked about last hour, really kind of changed movies for moving forward, what they were like. So looking forward to talking more about that as the morning progresses. We have Akira Saban coming up in hour number three at 10:15, our life coach and positivity psychologist. She'll be talking to us about steps to find happiness. Something simple but very, very important. What is happiness? How do we find it? How can we achieve it? Or is it just an ongoing journey? Kara will be here at 10:15 to help us walk through steps of happiness. Also this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about elections. Something very important and quite frankly pretty scary happening down in Texas yesterday. We'll take a look at that this hour. And also talk about how it relates to things here in the state of Wisconsin. Right now, though, here's a look at the news and weather, what you need to know on this Thursday, May 4th, 2023. It is 9:08 on the time and temperature sign. Weather forecast for Richland Center. News from the center. Mostly sunny today. A high of 75 degrees. Beautiful day in the RC today. Tonight, a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, a low of 47. And tomorrow, Friday, isolated storms and a high of 72. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, a chance for a shower or thunderstorm today, a high of 67. Tonight, those chances of showers and thunderstorms continue, a low of 42. And tomorrow, Friday, a chance for showers and a high of 60. Over in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio, sunny skies today, a high of 70 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 42. And tomorrow, Friday, a chance of showers, a high of 63. Not bad at all. Going to be a nice warm one, at least. I'm not complaining about the rain that could come in. Always good to get a little rain in the springtime. Helps out the farmers, helps keep the fire hazard low. I'm just glad the temperatures are finally warming up. News headlines for you. First of all, in the state of Wisconsin, the GOP-controlled Joint Finance Committee stripped 545 of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' priorities from the state budget, according to WIS Politics, nixing items that range from legalizing marijuana to expanding Medicaid through the Affordable Care Act. Again, remember, Wisconsin, only a handful of states left who have not accepted millions of dollars in federal Medicaid money. Republicans decried the amount of policy that Evers included in the document, which they knocked as a dramatic expansion of state government. But Democrats countered. Many of those policies have significant fiscal impacts and are overwhelmingly popular with voters. Senator LaTanya Johnson, Democrat of Milwaukee, noted the provision to expand Medicaid, for example, would result in advantages for all. Elsewhere across the country, in Atlanta, the suspect in the deadly shooting at an Atlanta medical facility was arrested last night inside a gated condominium complex in Cobb County, about 11 miles from the scene. One person was killed, four others injured, three critically, after a man became agitated during a visit to a Northside Medical Midtown and opened fire. He was accompanied by his mother, who was not injured. Police have identified the suspect as a 24-year-old former Coast Guardsman who was discharged from active duty in January of this year. He had minimal contact with the police department before the shooting. The victim who died was identified as a CDC employee. The Federal Reserve announced its 10th straight interest rate hike yesterday as it aggressively attempts to lower inflation. The Fed raised its benchmark rate by another quarter of a point and hinted a pause could come as soon as next month. Fed Chair Jerome Powell emphasized that U.S. banking conditions have improved since early March, when the country saw some of the biggest bank failures of since 2008. But the Fed expects that as a result of the banking system turmoil, credit will continue to tighten for households and businesses, which could slow the economy. Before we move on, I want to just clean up what we were talking about, the 14th Amendment. I got too involved talking about Star Wars and didn't leave enough time. The story we were talking about last hour on the 14th Amendment and how it relates to the Civil War. Again, Matt Flynn says you got to know history, right? So the history was they were raising bond money to pay for the Civil War. And then Democrats at the time said they basically didn't want to go along with it. And according to this story by Heather Cox Richardson, undermining the value of those U.S. bonds was an attack not just on the value of investments, but on the nation itself. When Republican lawmakers wrote the 14th Amendment in 1866, they recognized that a refusal to meet the nation's financial obligations would dismantle the government. And they defended the sanctity of the commitments of the government that the government had made. When voters ratified the amendment in 1868, they added to the Constitution our fundamental law, the principle that obligations of the country, quote, shall not be questioned. So that's how they could use the 14th Amendment, or the Democrats could, to say, look, we made these obligations. They cannot be questioned. Could that be a way to raise the debt ceiling? We shall see. Back with more after this. This is the Tom Lobel Show on Civic Media. The Tom Lobel Show. It is now 9:15 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on the show today, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Question we're asking you this morning, this hour. Do you want your elections interfered with? Or do you think they're just fine the way it is? Do you think that anything needs to be touched or improved upon? Or are you cool with the elections the way they are right now? I think they can be improved upon. But what's happening down in Texas right now is absolutely ridiculous. Saw this last night, breaking by Sawyer Hackett. He is a Democratic strategist and a communication consultant. Works for Julian Castro from Texas, one of the progressive Republicans down there. But keeping track of this, he tweeted last night, the Texas State Senate, just passed a bill to give Governor Greg Abbott's hand-picked Secretary of State the power to overturn elections in the third biggest county in the United States. Republicans weaponizing the 2020 election lies to rig elections. He writes, it's a huge story, and it is. Here's the actual language of the bill. I have it in front of me. It's a bill, it's called a bill to entitled... A bill to be entitled, an act, and it goes through there. Here's the key line. I'm going to read it, and then I'll explain it. The Secretary of State shall order a new election if the Secretary has good cause to believe at least 2% of the total number of polling places in the county did not receive supplemental ballots under Section 51.008 for one or more hours after making a request for supplemental ballots to the authority responsible for distributing election supplies. That's a mouthful, all right? And you're like, what is that? That's just a bunch of mumble jumbo. Here's what it is. Harris County, third largest county in the United States, and a very blue county in Texas. And remember, Texas has been starting to tilt more in the blue column. And Beto O'Rourke run a couple of times there for U.S. Senate and governor. I think helped propel that towards the blue column. Places like Dallas and Houston are growing. Austin, Texas, growing. Those metropolitan places tend to be more Democratic. Even some of the more outlying areas, the Latino places of Texas, counties, some of them tend to be Republican. Many tend to be Democratic. So what the Texan Republican Senate decided to do was write this convoluted language that basically gives the Secretary of State of Texas the power. He or she does not have to prove this. And the language simply says, if there's good cause, completely subjective and up to the Secretary of State. And then they put these wacky parameters that at least 2% of the total number of polling places in a given county did not receive supplemental ballots under this section they note for 1 or more hours after making a request for supplemental ballots to the authority responsible for distributing election supplies. So basically, one precinct, all it would take is one precinct in a county. And remember, the goal is to have both people identify as Republicans and Democrats. You want as close to 50-50 of poll workers. So the Republicans just have to have one poll worker in one precinct make a request. Could be a text on their cell phone. Could be an email on their cell phone. To the Secretary of State's office and say, hey, we need supplemental ballots. And if they're not distributed to that county within 2 hours, the Texas Secretary of State could say, you know what? I don't think that was a fair election. And could call for a brand new election. It's an egregious authoritarian usurp of power. So in other words, if this county in Texas, if a Democrat won there, the Secretary of State could simply say, you know what, I have good cause. I don't have to prove it, but I have good cause to believe that there's a problem here. And they would simply overturn the will of the people in the state of Texas. This is an ongoing narrative. Not just a narrative, an action by Republicans across the country. And we've talked about it before. That the Republican ideas, and I'm talking about not your neighbor Republican, I'm talking about the Republican leadership in Madison, the Republican leadership in Washington, the Republican leadership in Texas. They understand that their ideas don't click with a majority of voters in the country. Look no further than Wisconsin's own race for state Supreme Court last month, April 4th. The two biggest issues in that race were women's health care, access to safe and legal abortion, particularly in cases of rape and incest, and gerrymandering. And by 12 points, a shellacking in Wisconsin election terms, 12 points, a shellacking, Janet Protasiewicz shellacked Dan Kelly. And it was about roughly the same amount of money spent on each. Janet Protasiewicz had a little bit more. Now, that's a whole other discussion, right, about outside money. It was the most expensive race for a state Supreme Court in American history, right here in Wisconsin. Not saying that's right. But the point is that the two biggest issues, women's health care, access to safe and legal abortions, particularly in cases of rape and incest, and gerrymandering, this ridiculousness of legislators choosing their voters instead of voters choosing the legislators, those are the two biggest issues. And Republicans lost, got a shellacking. That is going to be repeated time and again throughout the United States of America. Republicans know this. So the only way that they can win, quote unquote, I say quote unquote because it's not really winning elections, it's stealing elections. The only way they can steal an election or get their people in, it's by changing the rules and making voter suppression laws. And in this case, directly taking away the vote of the people. Last night, California Governor Gavin Newsom said this. This is completely insane things that can happen in Texas. The GOP knows they cannot win in Harris County, Texas, one of the largest and bluest counties. So what do? Appoint someone to overturn the election. If you can't beat them, silence them. He's right. Gavin Newsom's absolutely right on this. And it's time that we stop just overlooking this as... And the problem is... I shouldn't say the problem. The concern is that I get it. For political geeks like me, you can read this and get sink your teeth into it and parse this all out. But I get it. For the average voter, for the average listener, you're like, I just don't have time for all that. I don't understand that legalese. I'm just going to go vote. And that's fine. We should. But it's our job on networks like Civic Media, on programs like this one, to parse these things out for you and say, hey, you know what? We need to be aware of this. Because there are things going on right here in our state very similar. And coming up after the bottom of the hour, on short notice, we appreciate him, Matt Rothschild is going to join us. And he is going to tell us what are the things happening in this state right now. Matt Rothschild, the executive director of Wisconsin's Democracy Campaign, he'll be here in just a few minutes. And he's going to tell us what's happening in Wisconsin in terms of electioneering, we'll call it. And this is something we have to be aware of because it's going to impact. And the sad thing is, and I'll keep coming back to this deal at Richland Center with the campus there, UW Richland. The sad thing is that things are happening in our state, in our country, and we don't know about it until it's too late. By the time the public was made aware that Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, had made the authoritarian unilateral decision to close a campus, something that's very iffy of whether he has that unilateral power in Wisconsin or not, by the time it was made, he'd already cut a deal with the legislature. Republicans in the legislature already were on board. And now it comes out that they're putting all two-year campuses on notice. As we talked about yesterday with Luke Mathers, co-host of Dueling Tangents at 2 o'clock on the Civic Media Network, except in Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, where Chad Holmes has the Chad Holmes Show from 2 until 4. But Luke Mathers yesterday made the point that the university committee was meeting yesterday in Oshkosh. It was only for invited speakers. This is a trend, you see, that we're seeing more and more with Republican leadership. They don't want public input. They don't want to hear from people that oppose them or have different views. They push through their things. They do it in the dark of night. They make sure that it's already cooked before the public has input. And they're afraid to go in front of the public. We had Democratic Senator Melissa Agard on yesterday. She's in favor of legalizing cannabis in Wisconsin. Now, it has the facts. $36 million of taxes went to Illinois last year because they have legal cannabis. Wisconsin folks drove down, bought their cannabis there, drove back to Wisconsin, spent $36 million in tax money to Illinois, money that could be going to Wisconsin. But is Senator Agard sitting in her office saying, this is my view, I'm not going to talk to anybody else? No. She's traveling the state. Going to be in Platteville today, I believe from 4 until 6 at the Platteville Public Library. Stop down and see Senator Agard. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not sure when the last time you saw your state senator in Platteville, Howard Markline. He's having speaker-only or invited speaker-only meetings, chairing the Joint Finance Committee. They are inviting some public testimony on those tours around the state, I believe. But Howard himself, Senator Markline himself, when's the last time he had an actual listening session where he talked to you in Platteville? Melissa Agard, She'll be there today. If you don't agree with legalizing cannabis, she wants to hear from you. If you're in favor of it, she wants to hear from you. That's called open government, something Wisconsin used to be the lighthouse for. The shining example, Republican governor finding Bob La Follette was the progressive of open government. But now that's in danger in Wisconsin. We'll talk to Matt Rothschild after the break. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9:33 on Thursday, May 4th. It is Star Wars Day 2023. Glad to have you along with us. Mr. Sommers, what's the theme of that one?
This is the theme song for The Mandalorian.
Oh, yes, The Mandalorian. I haven't gotten into that one yet.
I recommend it.
All right. You think it's good? All right. Mandalorian music, there it is. What's happening, as we talked about before the break, with all these election laws, quote-unquote, seems a little bit like science fiction. Seems a little bit draconian, like you have an evil empire trying to suppress the rebels. That's what it seems like to me. One of the great things about having wonderful people in government watchdogs, and also just great people in general like Matt Rothschild, is he can email you something and says, here's what I'm going to do, and you can email him back and say, do you want to come on the show in 15 minutes? And he says, yes. So we bring on our friend Matt Rothschild, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, appreciate you coming on as a late addition on such short notice.
Well, it's my pleasure, Todd. Excuse me, and thanks for having me on again. It's always great to speak with you.
Absolutely. Before we get into this, we're asking people this morning, what was the first, what was the first Star Wars movie you saw in the theater? It is May 4th. May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. Are you a Star Wars fan or not so much?
Not a huge fan, but it must have been the original one I saw.
That's what I said, too, 1977. So thank you for being a person of a certain age along with me, because all these other people we've been talking to, it was the third one of the second series. So that makes me feel a little old.
Oh, yeah, that kills me. It kills me when I'm working with people who say, they were born in the 21st century.
Right. So. Yeah. But like Joe Biden, it gives us a little breath of experience. That's the way I look at it. Not that you and I are in that generation, but experience is something you need when you talk about elections in Wisconsin. We just got done before the break there reading this story from the Houston Chronicle and what people are talking about this morning. Down in Texas, the Republican State Senate in Texas passed this bill yesterday that would essentially give the Secretary of State the ability in Texas, without proof, just by a hunch, to say that a certain percentage of extra ballots didn't get delivered within 2 hours. So that means it wasn't a fair election. So it basically null and void the will of the people, and you call for a new election. And oh, by the way, this just happens to work very conveniently in predominantly blue Democratic counties in Texas. And this is a narrative, Matt, that continues to repeat itself across America because, as I said, we saw this in Wisconsin last month on April 4th. The two biggest issues in the Supreme Court race were health care and access, legal access and safe access for women for abortions and gerrymandering. And Janet Protasiewicz trounced Dan Kelly on that by 12 points. Clearly, Wisconsinites don't want to go along with this, and the Republican platform is not sellable. So now we have bills like the one you're talking about today, Matt, this Assembly Bill 245. Explain to folks, if you will, please, what this is about and what your feelings are on it.
Well, this is a bill about revenue sharing, which is a pretty boring topic for most people. And there are a lot of problems with this bill. But the one problem that I am highlighting over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is that this bill would prohibit counties and municipalities from holding even advisory referendums. They don't want to even hear from us, the legislators. They don't want us to be able to express ourselves on public issues. I mean, this is just a grotesque violation of our freedom to speech, our freedom to assemble, our freedom to petition the government. And, a lot of social change happens from the grassroots. That's the way we do it in this country. We gather with our neighbors, and we gather in our localities and say, you know, we want to make such and such a change in policy. And one way we get that across is by putting advisory referendums locally. I mean, there have been 170 advisory referendums passed in Wisconsin over the last decade saying, you know, we don't like the way campaign finance is going, and we think corporations actually aren't persons and money isn't speech, and we think the U.S. Constitution should be amended. Shouldn't we be able to say that? Or look at all the referendums passed saying we want the legislature to ban gerrymandering. They don't want us to be able to say that anymore. They don't even want to listen to us. And this effort to ban advisory referendums at the local level, whether it's on abortion rights or medical marijuana or recreational marijuana or gerrymandering or Citizens United or any subject under the sun, we ought to be able to have the right to express ourselves, for God's sakes, and tell the legislature what we want them to do. And so I'm just urging everyone who's listening now to contact your legislators and tell them to vote against this provision in this bill. The bill's called AB for Assembly Bill, AB 245. Or contact Todd Novak. He's the chair of the committee that's having a hearing in just 20 minutes now on this bill. Give his office a call at 608-237-9151. I'm going to give that to you again, 608, you guys know, 237-9151, and tell him to yank the provision that would gag us, actually, that would forbid us from using advisory referendums. You know, in 26 states, people have the right to overrule the legislature and by plebiscite make law by themselves. We should have that in Wisconsin, but not only do they not want us to have that, they don't even want us to have advisory referendums. I mean, it's insane.
This is fantastic, your work. Not the bill, of course, but your work is fantastic on this, and this is why I appreciate you so much, Matt. I've known Todd Novak a long time. He used to be the editor for the Dodgeville Chronicle. I mean he was in our business. He was in my business, you know, a fellow journalist. He is still, last I heard, also the mayor of Dodgeville, in addition to being a state's representative who represents parts of Iowa County, Richland County, the lower kind of southeast part of Richland County, a little bit of Sauk, I believe. And the irony of this, Matt, is that this bill, the assembly bill you're talking about in Representative Novak's committee, this would actually bar his own city council from putting an advisory referendum on the ballot in Dodgeville, the municipality of which he's the mayor.
Right, and so this is another violation of our state constitution. It's the violation of the home rule provision of our state constitution. We're supposed to be able at the local level to govern ourselves without interference from the state government unless there's a statewide issue of huge import. And this is just about interfering with local self-rule, too. So, yeah, it's an amazing point. And, you know, Dodgeville and Richland Center, Richland County, you know, they've passed a lot of these referendums on banning gerrymandering. Actually, Todd Novak's been good on the issue of banning gerrymandering. So it surprises me that he is in charge of this committee that's got a provision in this nasty bill that's getting a hearing this morning, and that he's in favor of that. I really beg people, call Todd Novak's office, 608-237-9151.
We'll give it to you again. Again, State Representative Todd Novak, his office number, let's light up the phones, 608-237-9151, 608-237-9151 for State Representative Todd Novak, and tell his staff that you want AB 245 killed. Don't allow AB 245 to go through.
At least the provision in there that would prevent us from even being able to express ourselves on advisory referendums.
Right. That's a good addition. So the provision that bars advisory referendums, we want that taken out of AB 245. So it's AB 245, take out the provision that would bar local referendums. And yeah, I mean, I spent two terms on the Richland Center City Council as a local elected official. And this is the irony, Matt. This is one of the main reasons I left the Republican Party in 2011, Because when I was a kid growing up through the Republican Party, people like Tommy Thompson and other people would continually say, look, we have to put local control back in our local municipalities. We believe that the decisions are best left to local people. We don't need people in Madison or Washington, D.C. deciding what's best for Elroy and Richland Center and Dodgeville and Amory and Merrill and Wausau. Folks there could do that. And that, I believe in that. And the irony is now the Republicans are in control of the state legislature. And a guy like Todd Novak has AB 245 up with a provision that is completely different, completely opposite of that view. They want to centralize the power in Madison and D.C. so that these kind of authoritarian rules taking away people's rights can go through. That's the irony should not be lost on people.
You're absolutely right. I mean, this is not the party of local control anymore. This is the party of controlling the locals.
Right.
They don't want local self-government anymore. They want it all to come from their gerrymandered majority in the legislature.
And again, we're talking to Matt Rothschild, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about this provision, Assembly Bill 245, and a provision that would bar local advisory referendums. Call Todd Novak's office, 608-237-9151, 608-237-9151. Tell them you want the provision that would take out advisory referendums or prohibit advisory referendums out of AB 245. Matt, again, just in your lifetime looking at these issues, yes or no? This has just become more and more of a narrative. It used to be guys like, you know, I'm going to throw out names that maybe some people have forgotten. Dick Kruel, a guy who used to be on the school board in Fenimore, who then was the state senator for Southwest Wisconsin. You could talk to Senator Kruel. And he's a guy who actually believed in education and local control. He was on the school board, for goodness sake. And why is it now, Matt, that Republican ideals, they know they can't win with ideals, so they keep coming after our democracy?
Yeah, it's been a shocking last 13 years here in Wisconsin, I got to say, ever since Scott Walker took over and dropped that bomb on the people of Wisconsin and went after labor unions and everything else. But you're right. I mean, there used to be decent, moderate Republicans, your former boss, Dale Schultz, a hero of mine, among them, and they're just so few and far between now. And the irony here is that, you know, Todd Novak used to be considered a moderate Republican or one of the last moderate Republicans, and yet he's overseeing this bill that would take your voice away. Every listener here to your show all across the state who's ever voted for an advisory referendum, you'd no longer be able to vote for that. That referendum would no longer be able to be on your ballot. They're taking your voice away here. They're trying to anyway, and we're trying to stop them from doing it before it's too late. I also think it's going to get thrown out in court because it's blatantly unconstitutional, and then it's going to waste our taxpayer dollars paying the legal fees of the Republican legislature for putting in this illegal, unconstitutional law. It's unconstitutional under the Wisconsin Constitution.
I have a listener texting in this morning. One of our listeners, Tom, says, Republicans don't want advisory questions intended to gin up turnout at elections. It's exactly what they did, or they do, or just did, with a statewide advisory question, such as the one where the Republicans put on the ballot that advisory referendum, that it's just a bunch of crap, saying that should people on quote-unquote welfare, we don't have welfare, but people on government help, should they be required to work in order to do that? Well, of course, Tommy Thompson, Republicans addressed that in the 90s. People already have to work in order to do that. They tried to gin up turnout for conservatives, but again, that didn't even work. So now that it didn't work for them, now they want to get rid of it.
Yeah, and they want to be the only ones at the statewide level to have advisory referendums. They want no local or countywide advisory referendums anymore. And your caller who texted in is probably right. They're worried for some political reason. But it goes beyond that. I mean, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the biggest lobby in the state, the big business lobby, which has spent $35 million since 2010 to elect office holders that will do its bidding. For 3 years now, has been advocating to get rid of these local referendums because they don't want people to get aroused about problems in their area that they want the legislature to fix, whether it's PFAS or whatever. And so it's not just about turnout. It's about protecting their interests. And And Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, is nothing but a willing servant of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. So that's another part of this. But we've got to remember, this is an assault on our fundamental rights. I just want to read one sentence. It's from Article 1, Section 4 of our state constitution. This is what it says in full.
The right of the people
peaceably to assemble, to consult for the common good, and to petition the government or any department thereof shall never be abridged. And so this provision in this bill, AB 245, is a facial and flagrant violation of that article in our Constitution, and it's got to be stopped.
Matt Rothschild, thanks a lot. You're terrific. Have a great day. Back with more after this. Next this time. Is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show at 9:50 on a May the 4th be with you day, Star Wars Day. It is the 4th of May, 2023. Is that the Leia and Han theme?
It is.
Yeah. Every time you saw them, you'd hear that haunting music. Is that a flugelhorn or is that a French horn?
It is a French horn.
All right, very good. Sometimes I get them confused. Welcome back to the show, Todd Allball, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to thank Matt Rothschild for making room for us quickly on his day, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas might say. Assembly Bill 245. Going to be starting the hearing here at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock. Chairman Todd Novak, state representative of Dodgeville, a Republican, represents parts of Richland County, Iowa County, Sauk County, and the southwest part of the state. He is also the mayor of Dodgeville, last time I checked. A provision in AB 45 would ban local municipalities from having advisory referendums. I was on the city council of Richland Center for 2 terms. This is a great thing for locals to have in their pocket. And here's why. Imagine if you're an alder on a city council, or you're on the town board, on the village board, and you're getting less and less shared revenue. That's the money that comes back to your municipality to fix things like roads, to fund your fire department, your EMS, your first responders. You're getting less and less money. And a lot of these town roads, they're not blacktop. They're gravel. And let's say you have a big rain. With more powerful storms, you got to replace a town road. You can't just leave people stranded. Well, they've only got a certain budget. And so maybe at a town board meeting, your town board says, well, we got a decision to make, folks. Either we're going to fix this road and we're not going to do this and this, or we got to do that. We only got so much money. So we could raise local taxes to pay for something. And they say, well, I'm not sure people are going to go along with that. They say, well, let's put an advisory referendum this fall or this spring. Let's ask our constituents what they think. It's not a binding referendum, but it's an advisory referendum. Under this provision in this bill, AB 45, that would be prohibited. Your village town boards, your city councils could no longer ask you, the voter, for your opinion. It would be outlawed in Wisconsin. Just another step of taking our rights as constituents away. Trying to silence us. If you, like me, think this is abhorrent and disagree, give State Representative Todd Novak's office a call. Now, be polite. I used to be a legislative staffer. Nothing worse than having someone call up and just start yelling at you and swearing at you. We don't want that. But just give him a call. And if you're a constituent of Todd Novak's, make sure you say that, because that is more powerful. If you live in Richland or Iowa or Sauk counties, call Todd Novak's office. Here's the number, 608-237-9151. Again, 608-237-9151. Tell them you want the provision that bars local referendums taken out of AB 245. The bill is called AB for Assembly Bill, AB 245. Tell them that you want the provision that takes away local referendums taken out. Ty Novak's office, 608-237-9151, 608-237-9151. Want to move to a story from WXCO.com up in La Crosse, Eau Claire area. A tragedy yesterday. La Crosse police respond to mental health crisis incident near a school. Here's what happened. According to WXCO, a mental health crisis near La Crosse's Lincoln Middle School yesterday morning prompted a police response. La Crosse police responded to the location near the school, which is located at 9th and Division Street. They indicated it was not a middle school student, but rather a Viterbo University student. Viterbo, one of the, essentially what would be called a tech school in La Crosse, the university there. Great school, Viterbo University. President Richard Treatley issued a statement saying that one of their students had died by suicide, had taken their own life. And unfortunately, it happened in front of this middle school in La Crosse. Not exactly sure what happened, and quite frankly, it probably doesn't matter. But however it happened, this Viterbo University student took their own life in front of Lincoln Middle School in La Crosse. Very traumatic, obviously, for anybody who had to witness whatever happened. The university says the incident did not pose a threat to students at the middle school, and additional counseling is being given to those middle school kids in and around that area. The Viterbo president, Richard Treatley, said this in a statement. Said, I am writing in follow-up to an email that was sent earlier this morning regarding the passing of one of our students. The student had been identified as Javon Kunkel. Javon's family wanted to share with the community that Javon died by suicide and encourages everyone who may be struggling to seek support. Javon was a student and the Master of Arts in Savant Leadership Program and was on the track team. He was from Rochester, Minnesota, lived in the Laverna Apartments. On behalf of the Viterbo University community, we extend our deepest sympathies to Javon's friends, families, and colleagues. Please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Javon's parents have underscored, please seek help when needed and reach out to one another to offer strength and support. Take time today and in the days ahead to care for yourself and your fellow students. This is Mental Health Awareness Month in Wisconsin. If you are struggling, if you know somebody who's struggling, simply take your cell phone out and dial 988. That's it. 988. There's somebody waiting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, standing by to talk to you. It's a beautiful day here in Madison. The sun is out. It's going to be 75 degrees. But there's a family today that doesn't have their kid because he was struggling with something that probably a lot of people didn't know about. Luke Mathers has said this before. I'm a firm believer in it. We don't know what people are dealing with when we meet them every day. They might be a coworker. It might be a friend. It might be a family member. Might just be somebody that you run into who's checking you out at Target or Walmart. You're like, man, they were a real, you know, so-and-so. You don't know what they're struggling with behind the scenes. Just be kind to one another when we can. 988. If you are struggling today, there's someone waiting, standing by to talk to you. 988. The Mental Health Crisis Hotline. Our thoughts and prayers are with Javon's family. We will come back at hour number three. Timely indeed. Kira Sabin will join us with thoughts on how to find happiness.